Here's the deal. All you need to do is to find six friends who are willing to pay $1,500 to join at this level, and you'll get paid back for your $1,500. It's called multi-level marketing. Another name for that is a scam. And I am embarrassed to say that in the early 80s, I was involved with a company that was around for a couple of years. And we got an education. They say when a man with money means a man with experience, the man with experience gets the money, and the man with the money gets the experience. And we got the experience. And we regretted that bad decision, and we paid for it for a long time. I regret that I got deceived. I regret that I got other people involved in that as well. What bad decisions have you made? Maybe it was a business deal. Maybe it was paying too much for a house, or a car, or a vacation, or a luxury item. Maybe you regret taking a job for the wrong reason. All these decisions, I want you to think about them as rocks along a harbor. And you're navigating in a ship, and the goal is to stay in the water and to stay off of those rocks, stay off of those bad decisions. If only there was a way to prevent shipwrecks. If only there was a guidance system. Well, there is. There is, and that's what we're going to take a look at today. God has not abandoned us. And what we are going to discover this morning is how God guides us. Let's look at Proverbs 3. Verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him. And that's what we looked at last week. That was last week's message, submitting to God. And He will make your paths straight. And that's what we're going to be looking at today, how God makes our paths straight. Or some translations say, direct our paths. So before we jump into how God guides us, we need to learn the difference between God's will and God's guidance. So to do that, we need to understand the scope of God's guidance. God's guidance exists inside the will, inside the will of God. So the first step to guidance. If you want God to guide you, the first step is to get inside the will of God. Let me explain it this way. In 1978, I went with my brother, who's just younger than me, to pick up my older brother, and we were all going to go out to a family reunion in Colorado together. And I think at that point, I hadn't been to my brother's house in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. But that's okay. My dad gave me directions. Now, there's multiple ways to give directions. And my dad's way is when you get into town, you'll notice there's a big oak tree. Apparently, we missed the big oak tree. And we're driving around. It's 2 a.m. And we're driving all over Cedar Rapids. And he lives on 34th Street, and we're looking for it, and we go like, okay, 30, 31, 32, 36, wait. So finally, we found a 24-hour gas station, and we pulled in there, and we said, we're looking for this address on 34th Street. Wait, 34th Street? 34, there's no 34th Street. I said, my brother lives on 34th Street in Cedar Rapids. And the guy said, you're not in Cedar Rapids. we had driven into Cedar Rapids and driven into, you know, like a suburb of Cedar Rapids. We were in another town. My brother's address doesn't work when I'm not in Cedar Rapids. God's guidance doesn't work when you're not in God's will. We need to be in God's will to receive and understand God's guidance. It's different. God's will is a wide highway. God's will is a wide highway, like this highway we looked at, 40-lane highway. That is God's will for our lives. That's God's will. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at, you know, what God's will is. God's will for you is to be saved, to be holy, full of joy, be thankful, love each other, make disciples. This is a wide highway. God's guidance is a sign on that highway. God's guidance is a directional sign while you're on that highway. Next slide. Yeah, it's a sign on that highway, like a sign like this. Now, when you're driving by that, you don't have to obey every sign on the highway, because some of the signs aren't for you. Diane always hated getting on the toll road because it said Ohio and Chicago. And she's like, I don't want to go to either one. Right? And so just because you see that sign doesn't mean you need to get off. If you want to go to Chicago, get off there. If you want to go to Green Bay, get off that way. And so when you're on the 40-lane highway of God's will, God will give you signs along the way. That's the way God's guidance works. They're specific for you. But how do you prepare to be guided? Ephesians 5, verse 15. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that'll ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. In James 4, 13, it says this, look here, you who say today or tomorrow, we're going to go to a certain town and we will stay a year and we will do business and we'll make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here for a little while and then it's gone. What you ought to say, if the Lord wants us to, we will do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is what? Evil. Evil. So be wise and humble to receive guidance. We need to be wise and humble to receive guidance. There was a farmer that bought a mule from the neighbor farmer. And he said, this is a good mule. He obeys. And so the farmer took it out the next day and was trying to get it to move, and it wouldn't move. And it's like really frustrating. So he called that farmer and said, I'm having troubles with the mule you just sold me. He said, I'll be right down. And the farmer that sold the mule came down, and he had a 2x4 in his hands. And the farmer that just bought it said, see, and he gave a command, and he wouldn't do anything. So the farmer that used to own the thing whacked it upside the head with a 2x4, and they said, now tell him. And then he did it. And he said, all you have to do is get his attention first. Have you ever felt like God does that with us? That he has to get our attention. And we, too many times, I have needed God's 2x4 aside my head. And I have run full speed into a cement block wall, and God goes, all right, are you ready to listen now? Yes, Lord, I am ready to listen. So we need to be wise and humble to receive guidance. God is ready to guide us if we will simply listen. In Italy, there is this harbor that's hard to get to. There are rocks along the way, and many ships would crash as they're trying to navigate into that harbor. So what the officials in that harbor did is there's a cliff above that harbor, and they put a series of lights on top of that cliff. And if you line up just right, it's not a series of lights, it's one light. And you just have to keep that one light. If you go off to the sides and you see multiple lights, you got to move back over this way. And if you follow those lights and you line up those lights, then you'll be safe as you navigate through that harbor. That's how they kept from wrecking against the rocks. And that's how what we need to do. So this morning, we're going to take a look at three lights that will help us as we navigate our life, as God guides us. We're going to look at three lights that will help us in that regard. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. We need to read and meditate on God's word. Read and meditate on God's word. And it's not just, you know, opening your Bible and, you know, saying, okay, God, what do you want to say to me today? Judas went out and hanged himself. Ooh, am I supposed to do that? Flip, flip. Go and do likewise. What? Flip, flip. That's what you do quickly. You can get in a lot of trouble just reading through it willy-nilly, saying, what do you want me to what? Read daily. Read, get into God's word and read God's word and meditate. What does that mean? How many of you know how to worry? Worry comes pre-installed, right? If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. It's the same thing, only different. Worry is like, oh, what if this will happen? What if that happens? What if that happens? Meditate is doing the same thing and saying, okay, God, your word says this. I wonder what that'll look like if you do that in my life. I wonder what it looks like for me to love the enemies in my life. I wonder what it looks like here. I wonder what this looks like here. And it's thinking about Scripture and rolling it over and over again in your head. That's meditating on God's word. We need to read it and meditate on it, because we learn what God's word said. A friend of mine was talking about what happened in a church that she was a part of. And she said this lady came up to for prayer at the end of the service, and she was crying. And she said, doing God's will is so hard. It's just so hard. And she said, what is it that God is asking you to do? He said, today I have to tell my Christian husband of 18 years that I need to divorce him and leave my three children and marry this other guy, and we're going to become missionaries to serve the Lord more fully. And she said, that is not God's will. And the lady said, I'm not asking for your opinion. And she said, I won't give it to you. And she said, do you have time? And she said, yes. And they took 2 hours, and they walked through God's word, verse after verse after verse. And at the end of 2 hours, this lady said, I can't believe I was so deceived. I can't believe I believed that it was God's will for me to divorce my husband. And my friend asked her, how regularly are you in God's word? Oh, I don't understand it. I don't really read it. And so, because she wasn't in God's word, she was led astray. And fortunately, a friend stopped her before she made a very foolish decision. We need to be in God's Word because that's one of the light that keeps us off the rocks that can wreck us. So we need to read and meditate on God's Word. God's guidance will never, never go against what God's Word says. Never. And then the second light, spend time listening in prayer. That statement may not make sense to you. Because when we think of prayer, what we think of is this: talking to God. And that is that inaccurate? No, that is accurate. Jesus told us, commanded us, ask in my name. And so when you ask in his name, you're doing what he said. So that is a part of it. But there's also a time to listen in prayer. That's speak, Lord, your servant is listening, and listen, Lord, your servant is speaking. Both are a part of prayer. But we need to spend time listening to God in prayer. And to do that, there are some things that will be helpful. Number one, slow down. I don't know if you're like I am, but I like to, 100 mile an hour is fine for me. I like speed. God, come on. Come on. Let's go. I was not blessed with patience. Ask any driver in front of me. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. That's not one of my gifts. And so we have a tendency to go, come on, God, I'm running 100 mile an hour. Please answer. 3, 2, 1. And he doesn't like that. We have to slow down. We have to slow down. There's this passage in the Old Testament. Elijah was stressed out. And so he was heading for a time away with God. And let's pick it up in verse 11 of 1 Kings 19. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Elijah was already in the presence of the Lord, but here's the thing, he couldn't hear him. And so it says, then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. That's crazy. That's some wind. I've seen wind blow things down, but the wind shattered rocks. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. We look for big, magnificent, huge things, powerful stuff. But what happens? Then after the fire came a gentle whisper. The idea is a thin whisper. Then when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then the voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So after we slow down, we need to listen carefully. God often speaks in a thin whisper. This is just a suggestion, but maybe we should, you know, take out the earbuds, turn off the music, turn off the TV, and listen carefully. Listen carefully. If we want God to speak, listen carefully. When this is a habit, you will begin to recognize the voice of God in the myriad of other voices that you hear. You're going to hear lots of voices. do this. You hear voices from the TV and online. You hear all these voices coming at you. But when you take time to slow down and to listen carefully, you'll begin to recognize the voice of God. And when you hear a foreign voice, you go, that's not the Lord. And you'll understand his voice. Hasn't that happened? You hear somebody's voice. You're in a crowd and you heard somebody say, Ken. And I go, that's somebody. And you know exactly who that was. You recognize that voice. You could always hear your mom calling your voice, calling your name, can't you? You recognize that voice. And that's the way it is with the voice of the Lord. And then in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Wait for the peace. Wait for the peace. This is all about slowing down. You slow down, you listen carefully, and wait for the peace. Not for safety. Because it doesn't always mean safety, but wait for the peace of God that passes all understanding. In 2007, we thought that we were going to plant a church. And I really wanted to plant a church. And we went through an all-day assessment, and we were jumping through all these hoops. And then the region said, nope. You're not going to do it. And we thought, well, God called us to do it. We don't care what you say. We're going to do it anyhow. I don't know if you've ever worked in a region, but they didn't take kindly to my attitude, if you can imagine that. And I was stuck between a rock and a hard place. What do I do? And so there are a couple of men that I contacted, and one of them was the pastor that I was first an intern for, John Moran. And I called him and I said, this is my predicament. What do I do? That guy, I love John. He was a great man. And I could tell that I kind of stumped him for a little bit, and then he said this. If God is big, and I believe he is, if God is big, he can change the mind of those in charge. Listen to what those in authority over you say. And so I contacted the regional director, and I said, I just want to let you know, I'm not going to move ahead until you give me permission. And I felt like, well, I know, our dream died when I said that. And I felt that. But I also felt the peace of God. And it was like, okay. That was the right thing. Wait for the peace. Not always safety, but peace. God has a peace. When my oldest daughter, I don't know, 15 years ago, they were leaving. They'd been teaching in South Korea for a year and a half, and they were flying to Egypt in the middle of the revolution. My mother-in-law was very concerned, and she has a way, you know her, she has a way of expressing her concern. And she contacted my daughter. She said, Karen, it's really scary there. And Karen said the most amazing thing. She said, Grandma, the safest place to be is in the center of God's will. And they had a peace, and they went there, and things went well. So wait for the peace. Slow down, listen, and wait for the peace. Spend time listening in prayer, and then listen to the counsel of wise people. Listen to the counsel, like what I was just talking about in contacting people. Listen to the counsel of wise people. Share the issue with several people that you know. Say, hey, this is what I'm thinking. What advice do you have for me? And Proverbs 15:22 say, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. And then take notes on their feedback. Write down what they say. Take notes. Go, oh, he said this, and he said this, and they said that. And then weigh their advice against God's word and your situation. Proverbs 14:15, a simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thoughts to his steps. So there's this kind of a channel. Proverbs says, listen to lots of advisors, but on the other hand, don't believe everything you hear. And sort through that. Get lots of feedback and look for the common thread in all of that. And God will guide you through that. Weigh their advice against God's word and your situation. There was this, Solomon was the wisest man. The kingdom of Israel was probably the biggest under Solomon. And he had a son, Rehoboam, that took over after him. And Solomon had built so many huge things, so many building projects, and the people were tired. And they went to Solomon's son, Rehoboam, when he became king, and he said, listen, we just want to know what your plans are, because we're tired. And so he said, all right, go home, come back in 3 days, I'll have an answer for you. So he talked to the advisors that advised Solomon, and they said, what should we say? And the wise older men said, oh, just tell them, you guys are right. You're tired. I'll take it. I don't have any big building programs for you. And speak respectfully and kindly to the people, and they will be your servants forever. Well, Rehoboam, he's wanted to be a tough guy. He didn't like that. So he went to his friends and said, what do you think? And they said, you tell those people, my little finger is thicker than my father's waist. You think he worked you hard? I'm going to work you even harder. And the people were like, oh, really? See ya. And that's when 10 of the tribes go, we're gone. And the whole kingdom divided because he didn't make a wise decision. Now, as we're getting feedback from people, there's one thing I want you to be aware of. Beware of people's God cards. Beware of God cards. Do you know what the God card is? God's will for your life is to do this. God told me to tell you, sell your truck. God told me to tell you to go and do this. And they say, this is, you know, like a trump card when you're playing rook. God's will, God told me to tell you this, and you have to do that. And there are people that try to do that to us. And you can disarm them by simply saying, if it's God's will, he can communicate that with me too. There was a young girl in college, and she went to a mentor, and she said, I'm getting married, I'm getting married, I'm getting married. And she said, oh, that's great. Who are you marrying? Chad. What's his last name? She said, I don't know. She said, I didn't even know you were dating anybody. She said, I'm not. He said, I don't understand. He said, well, this morning I was getting ready and somebody threw something against my window and I looked out and there was this guy named Chad down there and I opened up my window and he said, are you Michelle? And she said, yes, I'm Michelle. He said, in my prayer time this morning, God told me that I was supposed to marry you. Will you marry me? And she said, I said, yes. You know, God's word also says, don't be stupid. God gave us a brain. Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. And you're supposed to use your mind. And she said, no. People like to use a God card to get you to do what they want you to do. And so watch out for that. But God can use other people to guide you and direct you in your life. Esther chapter 4, verse 12. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you're in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, what was going on? There was a guy named Haman, and he wanted all the Jews killed. And this was his plan. And the Jews needed somebody to go to the king and speak up for the Jews and let the king know what was going to happen to the Jews and to Esther. But Esther couldn't just go into the king's presence. If she just walked in, uninvited into the king's presence, there's only one thing that can happen, and that person will be executed. Unless the king extends his scepter. It goes on. But if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. Why? Because God is still sovereign. If Esther would say, no, I don't want to get involved, then God would come up with something else. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. These amazing words. And if I perish, I perish. I love that. And if I perish, I perish. Realize the urgency of following God's guidance. There is an urgency to do what God has put us here to do. The risk involved can keep us from obeying. We have this desire in ourselves for God's will and God's guidance to be so clear that it involves no faith on our part. I struggle with this in my call to be a pastor. How do I know for sure? I want to know for sure. I want to get a letter in the mail with God's seal on it saying, Dear Kenneth, you are hereby directed to. Wouldn't that take a lot of, oh, good, now I know for sure, right? Here's the problem with that. If God sent you a daily email of what you're supposed to do, you and I would fall in love with the email, not with God. And when we take direction from God and listen to God and take this step, then He guides us and we do this. Do you know how to spell guidance? Do you know how to spell that? Here's how. It's an acronym. I don't know if you knew that. It stands for this. God, you, and I dance. God, you, and I dance. And so God says, take this step, and then take this step, and then do this, and then do that. God, you, and I dance. And in the moment, it doesn't feel like dancing. In the moment, it feels like almost falling, day after day after, oh. But then you look back at your life and you go, whoa, that was, God, that was cool how all of that happened. And it's obedience in those things. The risk can keep us from doing that. God's will is not safe. We want a guarantee of safety. Obedience eats anxiety for lunch. I met with a friend from high school, and he was telling me this. In Cuba, Cuba has a plan for pastors. You pastor for 3 years, and then you go to prison for 3 years. They barely feed you, and they beat you regularly. And if you survive, you get to pastor for 3 years. And after that 3 years, you go back to prison for 3 years. And if you survive, you get to pastor another 3 years. I would love to meet a Cuban pastor. Can you imagine the heart in a person like that? In China, they say that you can't trust a pastor who hasn't been to prison. You're just not sure. Is he a real one or is he pretending? If they've been to prison, then you know you can trust him. You know he's legit. They've been to prison. See, we were created to fulfill a mission. God put us here to fulfill a mission, to complete something. And if we don't do it, we miss the joy that goes along with it. In my ministry, I've met two people. One was called to be a missionary. So he said, well, he went to a missions organization and said, can I be a missionary? He had no training, no special training, no preparation. And they said, no. So he said, oh, okay. He's not a missionary. He just quit. I know another man, he was called to be a pastor. And he said, I decided not to do that. And I'll just have God's second best in my life. Let me tell you, both men, miserable. Miserable. Both men caused issues in the churches they were a part of. Because they said, no, I'm not going to follow God's guidance. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to spend some time listening. Would you stand with me? And I just want you to simply say this to God this morning. Father, hey, this is Father's Day. Say, Father, what do you want to say to me? And let's just listen for God's voice this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you that you speak to us through your word, that you speak to us in prayer. Thank you that you challenge us and stretch us. Thank you for what you're going to do in us and through us as we obey you. In Jesus' name, amen.